Now what we're going to do is, I'm going to prove to you that God is not dead. So we're going to have testimony time. All right? Now here's what testimony time is. I got a sermon. So we don't need a sermon. I got one. What I want you to do is, we're going to have popcorn testimonies. You're going to pop up, pop off, pop down. And we're going to declare the goodness of the Lord. These guys are not going to give you the mic. Don't let them hold it. You hold it. Somebody, when they grab the mic, they feel like they got to start preaching. So I want you to testify of the goodness of the Lord, something the Lord has done for you lately. All right? So the Bible says when we get together to testify, doesn't it? The Bible says bring a testimony. So we're going to do that real quick. So who, if you got a testimony, just stand up right where you're at, and we're going to come to you. All right, Jonathan, there's one standing up out there right here. And all right, wait. Only three women have God done. The rest of you, no men. God doesn't do anything in men's life anymore. I don't know. Thank you very much. All right, here we go. Right here.
This last week I was able to pay off one more major bill. I've got two left, and hopefully one by the end of the year will be out debt-free.
Debt-free. Come on. Man, I will receive that word. Right here, Jonathan.
Okay, I died, and my husband called me back in the name of Jesus. I'm here, guys. I'm still alive.
Amen. Yeah. Hey. Now, he came to my life group and told me that story. That I wish we had time. She literally was gone. And he said, Lord, what do I do? And he said, the Lord told him, call her back in the name of Jesus. And he did, and there she is right there. That's pretty cool, right? That's pretty cool. I don't, for all you skeptics. All right, right there.
June the 1st, my grandson was in a car accident that no policeman that showed up said they saw anyone could get out alive. Him, his girlfriend, and a 5-year-old little boy got out. One had a bruise on the face, one had a piece of glass in the elbow, and the little boy had a scratch on his back.
Amen. Amen. God protect him. Right here. Yeah, don't let him grab it. That's Captain Delgado. He'll take over. Don't let him grab it.
So on Saturday nights, I volunteer at a youth center in Slidell that is Christian-based. And last night, I was with a group, all young women. And we were talking about the Holy Spirit. And it was a moment for revelation for me and for a couple of those girls in that group, because we were talking about the gifts of the Spirit and the discernment that the Lord has gifted me. I was able to talk to a young lady who obviously was broken, and she was able to feel the Spirit. And right before Father's Day, and this is what the gift to me was, just before Father's Day, I realized once again, and even stronger, how much the love of the Father transcends anything that we can understand.
Amen.
And it's the depth of love. And it was a blessing for me.
Amen. Right here.
If anyone here, couples, feel like their marriage is broken and beyond repair, I just want to give testimony that God is able. If you trust Him, He can and He will heal your marriage and make it stronger and better than it's ever been before.
Amen. How many times y'all, they've been married twice. They got divorced to the same, yeah, to each other. God healed it completely. That's awesome. Right over here.
We haven't heard from our middle daughter for over a year. Last report we had, she was breaking into her biological family's home, stealing stuff to pawn to feed a meth addiction. They told me she was covered with sores just from where the meth, and then she just dropped off the face of the earth. Nobody saw her. Nobody heard from her. I was checking databases at all the correctional facilities and everywhere. And Friday, out of the blue, my Facebook Messenger pops up. Hi, Daddy. Can I call you? And the first thing she said was, I've been in prison. I've been clean for 221 days. I'm sorry. And she said, I remember you told me about a rehab program down there. Can you get me the information? And so I was able to get her the information for Jacob's Well. There's three different court districts that she's on probation with. So she's got to get all of those lined up. And, of course, she's got to get accepted and out there. But what the locust ate, God is returning. Don't give up. Keep praying. Keep praying.
Come on. Come on. That's a good Father's Day gift right there. All right. Nobody else stand up. You got two back there. One more right here. Yes, sir.
So this ain't recent, but a while back, I prayed to God to like give me a sign that I was all alone. I prayed to give me a sign where to go, what to do. And in the middle of the night, I got a text from my father saying, "How are you doing?" And I just escalated from there. And I finally ended up here, and I felt all alone. I felt so loved, and I never feel alone anymore.
Amen. Come on. Right back there.
My husband's been battling cancer for 2 years, and we just got the report that he is in remission. And there was a spot that had showed up on his liver, but the doctor said it was just a shadow, that there's nothing there now.
Amen. Oh. Last one.
Okay. I'll try to make it short, but yeah. Anyways.
Please. I know you. You can eat up an hour in a heartbeat.
I know. Okay, so I struggle really, really, really bad with fear. And 2 nights ago, I laid down, closed my eyes, and immediately it was like, okay, you have to fear. It's nighttime. You have to fear. And I just sat up in my bed, and I just, like, started declaring, like, no, this is not happening. And my husband was like, what are you doing? And I was like, the snakes, I keep seeing them. They won't go away. Like, they'll just curl up on the bed and up on my body. And he was like, well, have you prayed? And I said, well, what do you think I'm doing? And so he said, well, then just trust the Lord. And so it was, like, easy. Just pray, trust the Lord. And, like, then he went to sleep. And I'm over here trying to trust the Lord. And I went to bed, and, like, I haven't seen the snakes in 2 nights. So it was, I just wanted to encourage you guys, like, just kind of pray and trust God. Like, it was just that simple. We make things a lot harder. Yeah.
Jesus. That's an awesome testimony, by the way. But she ain't been married very long. That ain't going to be the last time your husband just rolls over you. I remember one time my wife was pouring her heart out to me, and I went dead to sleep. And I tried to shake it off like I was, you were asleep. I said, oh. Anyway, hey, God's still alive. Amen? God's still doing stuff. Everybody rise to your feet. I want to read the scripture, when I feel depression and the weight of college and the weight of paying the McDonald's bill, and that's a joke. This is my favorite scripture, and I want to start here today. Here's what it says. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Man, I've been rewarded. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man whose quiver is completely, totally full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you are alive and you're doing things. And God, I ask you to touch us. I pray that you'll reveal yourself to us, Lord. Reveal yourself to us. In your name we pray. Amen. Now, I want to talk about fathers. I want to talk about, just for a few minutes, about what a father should bring to the table. And then I'm going to turn it and show you what the Heavenly Father has brought to the table. Okay? And I want you to get this. If I was an aspiring father, I would pay attention to this. If I was a grandfather that had grandchildren, you need to pay attention. Okay? And listen, I am not against motherhood. I'm married to one. I had a mother. You know, but men and women are different. I've had a revelation. And so God made us that way. God made us where we bring different things to the table. And we are dealing with, I get the privilege or the curse, one of the two, to get to travel around the country. And we are dealing with a society that is second and third generation fatherless. We are dealing with a generation, because fathers bring certain things to the table. We have women growing up who don't know how it feels to be fathered. So they're looking for a date or a husband to be their father. We have young men that are surrounded by women who a woman cannot teach a young man how to be a man. You're not one. And there is such a loss. No wonder we have so much confusion about who we are, about what we are, so much insecurity, so much fear. Because we're dealing with generations that are fatherless. Fathers bring certain things to the table. And when we don't know who we are, and we don't know what we are, and I want to just say this to you. First of all, there's two things I want to say right off the bat. First of all, if you're a blended family, if God has put people in your life, father them. Do you understand? If you got a neighbor that's got a kid that's always at your house, father them. Don't worry about, well, that ain't my kid. If they're in there, they need fathering. And I want to say, if you are a single mom in here, I got a word for you from the Lord. The Bible says if you will trust the Lord, if you will trust Him, the Bible says you no longer call me Ishi, but call me Bali in Hosea. And when I read that, I went, what in the world does that mean? That's Hebrew words, and it means you no longer call me master, but call me husband. In other words, I'm going to fulfill where you lack. I'll either bring people in. That's why it's important we have men in our youth program and in our children's program and around here. Because some of these kids, that's the only fathering they get. But we are dealing with a society that has lost some things. And we've got men becoming fathers who were fatherless, who have no idea how to be a good father. We're just trying to get by. We're trying to buy them nice stuff. We want them to be involved in everything. And we think that's a good father, and it's not. That's a sugar daddy. And so I want to talk to you about three things that a good father does. How he fathers. Okay? And listen, this is the first day of the rest of your life. I don't care what your past has been. It's where you go from here. Okay? Number one, fathering. You got a father. A good father fathers by vision. A good father fathers by vision. And what I mean by that is, you got to know what you want your children to look like. Well, brother, I'm just enduring them. I'm just, you know, I mean, there's so many parents. There's so many parents just saying, well, we're just trying to get past that toddler stage and then things will get better. Ha ha! You're delusional. I could fix every problem that toddler has. When they get teenagers, it gets a little out of hand. Can I get a witness? Amen. What do you want your children to look like? It says in the scripture, and let me tell you where you get this from. And I'm going to show you God lives out every one of these. The scripture says, like arrows in the hand of a warrior are children in your youth. In other words, I'm shooting my children into the future. They're going to last a lot longer than me. They're going to be something out there. They're going to go further than me. My question today is, where are you aiming your kids? What are you shooting them at? Where are your arrows aimed? See, a vision shows you your value. A vision, when I say I want them to be like this, it shows what you value. Because that's where you'll shoot them. That's where you'll aim them, is where what you value. And fatherless children, they get their value and their direction and their vision from the world. Now you know why it's so screwed up. Let me give you an example so you understand what I'm talking about. Vision is where you want to go, where you want to be. If you tell me, Amy, we're going on a trip. We're going somewhere. Load up. Van's gassed up. We getting it. Well, if I don't know where I'm going, every crossroad is a big debate. When I get out of the parking lot, well, we go right or left. Well, I'm not sure. Well, where, you know, but if I know, hey, we're going to Hattiesburg, I'm not even thinking about this turn, those turns down there. I know exactly where I'm going. It makes decisions for you. It doesn't let your emotions get involved. Let me give you an example. One of our stated visions for our children. I'm not talking about their purposes, what they individually want to do, what they're called to do. Them and the Lord will figure that. I'm talking about the kind of people I want them to be. Does that make sense? Like one of our stated visions, I wanted to be able to take my children to any restaurant and it not be chaos. We said that from the when we had four. I think we stated that as one of our visions. Because I was one of those guys that hated kids in restaurants. I mean, when I took a date out and I was trying to make time and I was going to spend my money, by God, I didn't want no kid disrupting me. I mean, isn't God funny? God's funny, man. I mean, God will get you. Don't say stuff. Don't say I'll never. Just don't say it. Funny. Now, when we walk in a restaurant, everybody goes, oh my God. But it was one of our stated visions. So what did it made decisions for me. Hear me now. The vision made decisions for me. We're going somewhere. So what did that mean? I had to have family dinners where I had control of them And if they acted up, I corrected them. And if I could, I had to do it. And listen, mothers are different. Mothers believe that their children won't do it anymore. And that's why they're mothers. They're comforters, they're lovers, you know, all that. I whipped Micah 22 nights in a row for the same exact thing. Why? Because of vision. Did I want to? No. See, most people in this room right now, you are totally living life as it comes to you. With your money, with your marriage, with your children, you're just living, well, they'll grow out of it. Do you understand? You got to have a vision for where you're going. You got to have, listen, football teams do it all the time. We're going for a championship. And then you work their butts off. They're not going to endure the work if it's just for nothing. And everybody hear me. Everybody look at me. Because this is one of the major problems. I don't see a whole lot of fight in the Christian church. Dadgummit, we have a devil that's out to steal everything good. He wants your marriage. He wants your children. He wants your life. He is out after you every day. And man, we don't have a lot of fight. Because, listen to me, listen to this statement. Where there is no vision, there's no purpose for the pain. Did you hear what I just said? Where there is no vision, there's no purpose for the pain. Man, it's pain to walk through with a child walking away. It's pain to fight and believe. It's pain to have a marriage that's struggling. Me and Amy have struggled through things, and we had to fight through it because we had a vision that we wanted a great marriage and we wanted to look certain ways. That vision kept us fighting through. I had a vision of my children. Well, I want them to be world changers. I told them from the beginning, you are world changers. So what does that mean? I take them on stuff since they were very little. Come on, we're going to move this widow lady. Come on, we're going to deliver groceries. Come on, we go. Was it easier for me not to? No. It was easier for me to leave them at home, but I wanted to train them because I got a vision that I want them to make a difference in the world. And that helps me lay down my laziness and lay down my stuff and do something. Does that make sense? Vision will dictate your choices. If I got a vision of being out of debt, well, I'm not going to go buy a new car every 2 years. You see what I'm saying? That vision makes me, I don't care what my neighbor gets or what my friends get. Vision. See, you won't endure pain. Let me tell you something. Raising kids is hard. It's hard. Especially in today's world. But I got to teach them what's valuable, and I do that by my vision. What I want to teach them. What I want to teach them most valuable. I want to read the final words of a dying man that everyone in here knows. He ain't a Christian, but he's discovering because you're going to hear Solomon in him. In Ecclesiastes, Solomon came to the same conclusion. This was written on the deathbed of Steve Jobs, the Apple guy. He died a billionaire at 56. A pancreatic cancer. Here's what he wrote right before he died. Are you listening? Because here's the reason. Everybody look at me. Here's the reason I'm reading. Because if you let the world dictate vision, it'll always leave you empty. It'll always leave you broken. You got to have a vision. And I'm going to talk about it in just a second. You got to have a vision worth going for. I have reached the pinnacle of success in the business world. in others' eyes, my life is the epitome of success. However, aside from work, I have little joy. In the end, wealth is only a fact of life. At this moment, lying sick in my bed, recalling my whole life, I realize that all the recognition and wealth that I took such pride in have paled and become meaningless in the face of impending death. You can employ someone to drive your car for you and make money for you, but you cannot have somebody bear your sickness for you. Material things lost can be found, but there is one thing that can never be found when it is lost, and that's life. When a person goes into the operating room, he realizes that there is one book that he has yet to finish, this book of a healthy life. Which stage in life we are at right now, whichever stage you're at with time, we will face that certain time of death. Treasure your family. Love your spouse. Love your friends. Treat yourself well. Cherish others. Boy, this is powerful. As we grow older, hence wiser, we slowly realize that wearing a $300 watch or a $30 watch, they both tell the same time. Whether we carry $300 or $30 in a wallet or a handbag, the amount of money inside is still the same. Whether we drive a $150,000 car or a $30,000 car, and the distance is the same, and we get to the same destination. Whether the house we live in is 300 or 3,000 square feet, listen to this. This is, you're talking about a billionaire. Loneliness is still the same. Wow. You will realize your true inner happiness does not come from material things of this world. Listen to the words of a dead man. He's talking about vision. What are you valuing? Here's a billionaire that has everything the world offers, and he says, you realize your true happiness does not come from material things of this world. Whether you fly first class or economy, if the plane goes down, you go with it. Therefore, I have realized when you have mates, buddies, old friends, brothers, sisters, family that you laugh and talk with, and you sing songs with, that's true happiness. Let me ask you a question. Where are you shooting your children, fathers? What are you teaching them is most important? You got to bring vision. Don't let the world dictate their vision. Give them one. Fathers, number two, fathers have to declare. Words are powerful. Words are powerful. Use them wisely. Don't be a bucket mouth. But declare. Do you understand there are people in this room right now that would kill to hear their dad say, I'm proud of you, I love you. They need to hear it. They need to hear it. They need to hear it. People need, your kids need to hear it over and over. You know I believe in correcting your children, but 90% of the time, the world is screaming at them negative. They need to hear from a father, you are valuable. Look at this verse. Look at Proverbs, where it says, Proverbs 15:23. It says, a man has joy in the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. That word in due season, the right time, just at the right time, when I'm broken, when I need it, just at the right time, fathers have spoken things into me. When I was afraid, fathers have spoken things into me. When I was broken, just at the right time, because they were there and they were paying attention and they spoke. They need to hear your voice, men. Well, that ain't my personality, Brother Allen. I want to throw my Bible at you. You ever say that to me? You don't mind waxing eloquent when you get mad. There are so many people in this room around the country that have these father wounds. They need to hear that you speak. They need to hear that your pride, your love, your hope, your belief in them. And here's the thing, not just when they perform. Are you hearing me? Not just when they do good. I know some dads, the only time they praise their kid is when they do something good. Well, you're teaching them that you got to be perform good to get praise. No, no. God says He loves you before you ever have done anything. Do you understand? They need to know, if you never get another base hit, you're my son and I'm proud of you. They need to hear it just at the right time. Look at Proverbs 25:11. Proverbs 25:11 said, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. Sounds like a trophy, doesn't it? Sounds like a trophy. Man, I remember that time. I remember the time I was facing Carter Ray Crawford. He was a nose guard for Arkansas State, All-American. One of the ugliest, nastiest human beings I've ever seen in my life. He was, spit on people. All week long they said, man, he's going to eat you. He's going to, all that stuff. Man, and I'm scared. This is a big human that is mean. And Coach knew I was nervous. My college coach was like a father figure to me. He knew just what to say just at the right time. I'll never forget, he walked up to me in the locker room. He said, Hickman, if I could choose any sinner in America to be the center of my team, any college kid in America, I would choose you. And I looked at that and something, lightning went off up my butt, through my head. I became a raging maniac. I scratched this kid. I tried to bite him one time. I had him screaming to the referees. I was scratching him. I spit on him. I spit on him one time and spit was running down his face mask. I was going, ah! I'm not advocating doing that. I'm just saying that word, just at the right time when I am afraid, when I am nervous, I am worried, one word from a father change the whole outlook. They need to hear it. There's so many people that have been broken down from words of father. And then there's people that have suffered. The Lord brought that. This is going to date me. You old rockers, y'all remember. I was driving down the road and the Lord said, all of a sudden I heard that song, not on the radio, in my mind, by Simon and Garfunkel. You know, if you don't know who Simon Garfunkel, you're 30 and under. But Simon and Garfunkel in the 70s was cool. And they sang this song called The Sound of Silence. Sound of Silence. And the Lord spoke to me and said, that's what a lot of people are suffering from, the sound of silence. And of course my boys said, oh dad, you don't want to watch them. There's this rock group called Disturbed. And it was disturbing looking at them, but They sing, they redid the Sound of Silence. He said, that's what people, like some of you right now, you're suffering from the Sound of Silence. And the Lord told me, I was in Texas and there was this big guy. I knew he was big because everybody else was sitting next to him looked small. He had a big ugly beard, had overalls on. Had to be some kind of oil field worker, whatever. He looked like he was in his mid-60s. And the Lord said, he's suffering from the Sound of Silence. I want you to go tell him, I'm his father and I'm proud of him and I love him. And so I walk up and I'm thinking, well, I'm leaving tomorrow, so you know I'm out of here. And so I stand up this guy and I said, sir, the Lord said, you're suffering from the Sound of Silence. You never had a father tell you that he loved you and proud of you. And the Lord told me to stand in for him today. And first of all, when he stood up, I mean, this was a 6'5 gargantuan man. You know, kind of guy that couldn't butt it in his overalls because his belly was so big, you know. I mean, he's a big guy. And I told him, I said, sir, Daddy God wants you to know that he loves you. And he's proud to be your father and he's proud of you. And he kind of leaned back and he lunged forward. I thought he was going to charge me, man. He lunged forward and he fell on my shoulder and began to weep, crying his eyes out. He's a 60-something year old man. His dad's been dead for 20-something years. And he's still suffering. Dads, they got to hear it. They got to hear it. Don't make them earn it. A good father declares. Now we're going somewhere. Hang on with me. Almost finished. A good father declares. And a good father models. Dads, let me just tell you, I don't care what you say, they will learn from watching you. They're going to learn from watching you. They are going to learn. Let me tell you why this is so tragic that we have fatherless generation. We don't have young girls being treated like a princess by their father, so they're giving themselves to any guy that'll come along and show them a little attention instead of making them earn it. We have young men. I don't understand a person that would hit and cuss his wife. I don't understand that. I don't understand why the person you say you love, you wouldn't even treat a stranger like that. Somebody you ain't never going to see again, but you're going to cuss them or hit them or what? I don't even understand that. That's satanic. But let me tell you something. Every one of my boys' wives thank me because I trained them. You can go to any one of them right now and ask them, what will Daddy hurt you about? Daddy will hurt you if you mess with Mama. I didn't let them. Dads, I'm going to just get personal. I'm going to get right up in your Cheerios. Why in the world do you let your children talk to your girlfriend like that? One smart aleck remark to their mother, if they get a little sassy, they turn around because they know I'm coming. Why? Because I'm training them how to treat their wives. I'm modeling it in front of them. I am not perfect. I've had, you know, one of the things I've had to model in front of them? I've had to model saying, I'm sorry, I'm wrong. I've done that before. Boys, I'm wrong. Dad was wrong there. That was wrong. But I modeled it in front of them. That's what they're catching. That's what a dad brings to the table. A dad needs to be there to show his son. I can remember watching my dad tie his fish hooks, twist them three times, go through the loop, tighten it, twist it three times, go through the loop, tighten it, and then take your teeth back. I can watch it. I mean, it's engraved in my mind. I watched him do it. He modeled it. But let me tell you something else he modeled. I never once doubted he loved me. He said it. He proved it. He declared it. Now, let me flip real quickly. Let's go back through our 3 points. God's a good father. We sang it. Didn't we just sing it? You're a good, good father. God the Father has a vision for you. You don't have to find them. I mean, we got people that are 20-something years old have no direction. Because when you walk with God the Father, do you understand He's got a vision for you? Jeremiah 29:11. I'm going to be short. I got a meal to go to myself. I'm expecting a lot of presents, too. I'm kidding. Not really, but I'm kidding. Yeah, I'm modeling. Do you understand? Listen, Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans I have for you. God's got a vision for you. He's got thoughts for you, things He wants you to accomplish and do. I'm not talking about being in the full-time ministry. I'm talking about you as a person. Psalms 139 says He was there putting stuff in your DNA, in your mother's womb. I was there skillfully making you. God has a thought. He has a plan. He has a vision. And it's a good one. It's worth walking through the pain. I have never, let me just say this to you. I have never done drugs. Ever. Been around it, all that stuff. But the vision kept me from where I wanted to go, it kept me from going there because I knew that thing right there, Steve. Sometimes it's pain. Sometimes it hurts. The Bible says, for the joy set before Him, He endured the cross. If there's no joy out there, you won't endure. Does that make sense? That's why you got to have a vision. God's got one for you. He had one before you were born for you. God also declares. He declared over His Son, this is My beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. He declares over you, for God so loved the world. Well, that's you. He declares over you in Galatians 4. He says, you can call Me Daddy. He's declaring something over you. I know that some of you didn't have an earthly dad to do it. God the Father is constantly declaring it. He's declaring over you His love. He's declaring over you how much He cares for you. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't make us earn it. He declared it. Hebrews 13, He declares, I will never leave you or forsake you. Matthew 13:44, you're His treasure. Last thing God the Father does is He models it. Jesus showed us. He showed us what's worth sacrificing for. What's worth loving. What's worth being selfish to serve. He showed us who the Father is. He showed us what is worth dying for. He showed us all those things. And listen, I love sports. I love money. I love nice things. I love vacation. I ain't against none of those things, but then none of those are worth dying for. That's not my vision. My vision for my boys, you know, was not that they be rich. That never entered into our equation. Not one time did I say that. Now, if they become rich, good for me and Amy. But, do you understand? Are you hearing me? I want them to be something more than that, worth sacrificing for. I love this community in Picayune. I am fighting. I have a vision of a drug-free county. Well, see, if you don't have that vision, a lot of people don't have it, and they don't go, oh, you'll never see that. I'm fighting for it. Because that's what Jesus modeled. He came and said, you want to see the Father? Look at me. He loved people. He took care of the broken. And then he died on the cross and said, Father, forgive them. Can't you receive that? We're going to have prayer in just a minute, but I want to end with this story. My dad, he wasn't a perfect dad. But I knew he loved me perfectly. And that's what I've tried to do. Because you know why? Love covers a multitude of sins. But my dad was a big guy. If you never met him back in his 30s and 40s, he was a big guy that could move a little bit. And to a 10-year-old, he was gargantuan. Well, my dad, sometimes he got a little overzealous with me and my brother and sister. I mean, my sister, I mean, I'm mad. Can I just vent for a second? I mean, you know, she's 30 years old. I mean, they teach guys, it's unfair. Because they teach them this at woman's school. They teach them, I mean, she would crawl up in my dad's lap, and she's 30-something and get anything she wanted. And me and Andrew, get out there and hurt it. I said, Jamie, we knew if we really wanted to do something, we sent Jamie in there to get it. Because she'd crawl up in, hey, Daddy, how you doing? You know, that's why it's good I ain't got no girls, because them little girls that come by and sell all that crap from school, yeah, whatever, I'll buy it from you, baby. Them blue eyes, they, brother, Daddy, will you buy this? Yeah, Amy won't let me bring no money to church anymore. I got a freezer full of that goofy pizza dough and cookie dough. And anyway, I digress. He gave me a pellet gun. Pretty high power, wasn't pump. You know, that's not good. You know, an unsupervised 10-year-old boy, we're in danger zone. Well, my neighbor across the street was not a nice person. And so it was fun for me and all the friends in the neighborhood to, you know, do stuff to him. It was mainly them. I was just with them, you know. But I take this pellet gun, and I pump it up, and I get on my dad's car, and I'm going to shoot his booger light out. Y'all know what booger light is? You know, it's where the one you get from the power company, you pay $7-8 a month, comes on at night. Well, I'm shooting that thing. Boo, pow. Nothing. I'm like, what in the world? And then I realize it had hard plastic around it. So being the resourceful young man that I was, I looked down the street, looked around. I was pumping it as I walked. I got right up under it. I mean, it come down. And then, you know, it's always at that moment that you realize this wasn't good. You know, it's right at that moment after you complete that Satan takes the blinders off and you go, you're an idiot. Run. And so I ran, put it in my closet, ran out. I was like, oh God. Well, we're sitting at dinner. And I'm thinking maybe nobody saw me. Because nobody had called. Phone rings. My dad's sitting next to me. He goes, yeah, hey. And it was the neighbor's voice. And he's mad. He's hollering. He's cussing. I'm going to whip his blankie back. He shot out my... And I'm sitting there going, oh my God, this is going to be so bad. I'm going to get beat down, you know. And he kept on. You send him over right now, I'll beat his back. And buddy, my dad pushed away from the table. He said, hey, wait a minute. I tell you what, why don't you crawl on over here right now and you'll limp back. I'll tell you what, you ain't touching my... He went off. And man, I stood up by him. That's right. Yeah. You mess with me, you mess with my dad. That's right. Everybody look at me. The neighbor was right. I was totally guilty. But God, my dad loved me more than my guilt. My dad, the accuser of the brethren, who accuses you day and night, telling he's right. But something bigger in God than being right. It's his heart of love for his children. Man, can't you just revel in that for a little while? Can't you stop being afraid and trust? Just roll over and go to sleep and trust. Because he's right. I am guilty. I'm not perfect. But perfect love casts out fear. When I know that God, do you realize the crown jewel of creation is us? God died for you. Once you realize, and then he declares it over and over again. And then he modeled it. I didn't come to serve. Be served, but to serve. He models what the Father's heart is like. I'm sorry that some of you didn't have a good dad, but that is not God the Father. He's got a vision for your life that's worth sacrificing for. My marriage, I cannot imagine life without Amy. Now, it wasn't like that, and she'll tell you, first couple of years, it wasn't like that. All right? We could both easily imagine life. It wasn't like that, but we fought through because we had a vision. We wanted to go somewhere that was special. Does that make sense? Where are you going? Just trying to do the best. Well, you know, just trying to do the best I can. You're going to be just like the children of Israel. You want God to speak to you. Go to the back of one of your old Bibles and you'll see a map. It's the wanderings of the children of Israel. And they're all over the place. It looks like a 3-year-old drew it. And guess what? They wound up right back where they started. In other words, you're going to wind up with a whole lot of regrets unless you're going somewhere. That makes sense? What's your vision? Carrying the weight and burdens of sin and regret is not God's will for your life.